Good morning, and welcome to Just One Thing, Simple Practices for Resilient Happiness by Dr. Rick Hansen. This is your volunteer programmer, Babs Felix, from the Sunsound Studios in Flagstaff. Rick Hansen, PhD, is a psychologist and New York Times best-selling author. He's been invited to speak at NASA, Oxford, Stanford, Harvard, and meditation centers worldwide. His books are available in 28 languages and include Making Great Relationships, Hardwiring Happiness, Just One Thing, and Mother Nurture. His work has been featured on the BBC, CBS, NPR, and other major media. And now, just one thing. What would bear lots of fruit? The practice? Water your fruit tree. Why? My wife and kids tease me that the title of this practice is corny, and it is. Still, I like it. If you don't nourish the things that nourish you, they wither away like a plant in dry, stony ground. Looking to the year ahead of you, a year that can begin whenever you want, what's one key thing that will bear lots of fruit for you if you take care of it? There is usually one thing, or two or three, that you know in your heart is a key factor in your well-being, functioning, and how you treat others. It's often a seemingly small thing in the rush and complexity of a typical day. It could be getting that 15-minute break each day with a cup of tea and no interruptions, or writing in your journal, or feeling grateful for three blessings in your life before falling asleep, or asking your partner questions about their day and really listening, or taking your vitamins or eating protein with every meal, or getting home in time for dinner with the kids unless you're traveling, or getting up an hour earlier each day to start writing that book. It could be finally now making that shift for which your heart has been longing. For me, one thing that pops off the page is going to bed early enough to get enough sleep, plus being able to get up in time to meditate. Doing this sets my whole day and makes it better. As you know, most New Year's resolutions are worse than useless. They don't really lead to change, and we feel bad about not sticking to them. But if you think of this as feeding yourself, being good to yourself, giving yourself a big, wonderful gift each day, nourishing something that will pay off big for you, well, sure, it is a lot easier if you keep treating yourself well in this way. How? What's on your own short list of the things that would make a big difference for you? Perhaps you too would benefit from getting to bed earlier, or listening to someone for 5 minutes or more each day with no expectations, or from regular exercise, meditation, or prayer, or from dropping one bad habit, or from picking up the guitar again. Perhaps art would make a big difference for you, or staying calm with the kids, or finally, beginning to spend a few hours each week on starting your new business. Take a moment to imagine the rewards to you and others if you did this one good thing for yourself tomorrow? How would you feel at the end of the day? What would be the benefits? And then imagine those benefits coming to you and others the day after tomorrow and the days and weeks and months after that. Of course, all you can do is tend to the causes. You can't control the results. You can water a fruit tree, but you can't make it give you an apple. No matter what happens, you know you have tried your best. Keep coming back to the feeling of nurturing yourself. It's okay to take care of yourself in this way. Try to feel the warmth of yourself, the strength to gently guide your future self, the one who will be doing this one good thing tomorrow, and the days after that, to keep watering this particular fruit tree. And know that you can water more than one tree, but it helps to zero in on just one or a few things to focus on for a year. And then a year from now, looking back to this day, you will likely be enjoying a beautiful, sweet, rich harvest. You are listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona in Flagstaff, bringing you just one thing. Simple Practices for Resilient Happiness by Dr. Rick Hansen. And here's a quote from Dr. Rick. Paradoxically, focusing less on results and more on causes improves the odds of getting the results that you want. You zero in on creating the factors, that is, the causes and conditions, that naturally lead to success, and you aren't worn down by stressing over the outcome. Here's another just one thing. What is living you? The practice, give over to good. Why? In every moment, you and I and everyone and everything else, from the quantum foam to fleeting thoughts, intimate relationships, rainforest ecosystems, and the stars themselves, are each a kind of standing wave, like the ever-changing through a persistent pattern of water rising above a boulder in a river. We are the result of multiple causes flowing through us. The fact is amazing, but both modern physics and deep ecology corroborate it. We can get silly cosmic about it. Done this myself, not only as a college sophomore, but the implications are very down to earth. As unique standing waves, you and I are constructed each moment by the currents, the forces and factors, both internal and external, flowing through us. We have no choice about being lived by these currents, continually given over to them. But we can choose to give ourselves over to the good ones. By good, I mean that which leads to happiness and benefit for you and others. Bad means the opposite. Of course, honesty about what is actually turning out to be truly good is important. History holds many cautionary tales about people giving themselves over to things they thought were good, for example, Nazism, but weren't. Giving over to good means relaxing into, opening to, being buoyed and guided by things like your own naturally good heart. The impulse to take the high road, love, compassion, vitality, courage, the longing for justice, and the wisdom and support of good friends. Then your life's wave becomes simpler, happier, and more beneficial. How? There are two steps: knowing what the good is for you, and then giving yourself over to it. So, first step, what's the good that would serve you to give yourself over to these days? In your mind, on paper, or talking with a friend, make a list for yourself. Probably it won't be long. Listen to your inner knowing of what the good is for you. If appropriate, open to counsel from others, for example, a parent, a friend, a therapist, a prayer. But don't let anyone push their view on you. Your list might include self-nurturance, the peacefulness of nature, more self-expression, a long-deferred dream, sobriety, inner strength, certain health practices, meditation, the needs of your temperament, the simple truth that a particular job, career, relationship is not right for you, or the wisdom of your body that knows when it's full and needs no more food for now. For what it's worth, these goods have been important for me, personally, to give over to lately. The need for downtime, self-soothing, the love and loyalty of friends, an underlying deep, peaceful sense of truly being nothing but a standing wave, and that's all right. Next, second step. Pick one of the good currents you've identified and open to it in your mind and body. Relaxing, receiving, surrendering to it. Notice how this feels. Try to find pleasure, ease, and comfort in this current. Notice any reluctance to being carried by this force for good in your life, and then see if you can let that reluctance pass away. Imagine letting this good live you. What would that be like? What might change for the better, for you and others? Let the impact of those positive changes land in your mind. Let yourself sense the rewards. Let yourself become more motivated to lean toward them. Then, for the next minute, hour, or day, focus on this one good thing and giving yourself over to it. In effect, willpower becomes redefined as yielding. Surrender to the best within you and around you. Let this good be your guiding principle, your North Star. Let it be what gets you out of bed in the morning, fills you, breathes you, animates you. Enjoy the contentment, relief, and sense of integrity that swell in your heart through living from and as this good. Let yourself know that what you know is good. Feel yourself becoming more committed to this good. Feel yourself becoming this good. As you like, repeat this process with other good things. Love the wave. You are listening to Just One Thing, Simple Practices for Resilient Happiness by Dr. Rick Hansen, brought to you by Sun Sounds of Arizona in Flagstaff. And here's another Just One Thing. Is it really true? The practice. Drop the shoulds. Why? One time I watched a 3-year-old girl at her birthday party. Her friends were there from preschool and she received lots of presents. The cake came out. She admired the pink frosting rose at its center and everyone sang. One of the moms cut pieces and without thinking sliced right through the rose. A disaster for this little girl. I shoulda had the rose, she yelled. I shoulda had the rose. Nothing could calm her down. Not even pushing the two pieces of cake together to look like a whole rose. Nothing else mattered. Not the friends, not the presents, not the day as a whole. She was insistent something must happen. She just had to get the whole rose. It's natural to move toward what feels good and away from what doesn't. Natural as well to have values, principles, and morals. But when these healthy inclinations become internal rules, shoulds, musts, gottas, then there is a big problem. We feel driven, righteous, or like a failure. We create issues for others, even a whole birthday party. At the bottom, shoulds are not about events. They are about what you want to experience, especially emotions and sensations, if your demands on reality are met, or what you fear you'll experience if they're not. These wants or fears are rooted in ancient circuits in the subcortical areas. For example, the amygdala or striatum, and brainstem nodes that originated 200 to 300 million years ago. They're also highly influenced by childhood, especially the early years, with its concrete and either-or ways of thinking. For example, a person whose longings for love was met with pain could have a kind of inner circuit breaker, the concrete implementation of an inner rule, don't ask for love, that makes her shy and spacey or sleepy when there is an opportunity to ask for the caring she wants from a partner. Whether your shoulds are shaped by neural programs laid down when dinosaurs ruled the earth, or when you were in grade school, they often operate unconsciously or barely semi-consciously, all the more powerfully for lurking in the shadows. Plus, in a deep sense, your shoulds control you. I'm not talking here about healthy principles and desires, which you're more able to reflect on and influence. Imagine what it would be like to drop your shoulds in an upsetting situation or relationship. What's this feel like? Probably relaxing, easing, and freeing. You can and will continue to pursue wholesome aims in wholesome ways, but this time no longer chained to shoulds. How? As you explore the suggestions below, keep in mind that you can still behave ethically and assert yourself appropriately. Not one word in this just one thing is about harming yourself or others or being a doormat. Bring to mind some situation or relationships that is bothering you. Find a central should in your reactions to it, like, that can't happen, or this must happen, or they can't treat me this way, or I couldn't stand blank, or you must blank. Notice that the should is a statement about reality, the way it is. Then, facing this should, ask yourself a question. Is it really true? Let the answer reverberate inside you. You could find in the fact the should is not true. Good things we must have, even a pink rose made of sugar and butter, often fail to arrive, and bad things that must not happen often do. I don't mean that we ought to let others off the moral hook or give up on making the world better. I mean that when we face reality in all its messy, streaming complexity, we see that it exists, independent of our rules, always wiggling free of the abstractions we try to impose upon it. This recognition of truth pulls you out of conceptualizing into direct experiencing, into being with the thing in itself, which feels clear, peaceful, and free. Consider again the situation or relationship that bothers you, and this time try to find an even deeper should that's related to an experience you must have or avoid, such as, I'll be so embarrassed if I have to give a talk, or I can't stand to be alone, or I must feel successful. Then, facing this should, ask yourself a question. Is it really true? You'll probably find that you could indeed bear the worst possible experience that would come if your should were violated. I'm not trying to minimize or dismiss how awful it might feel, but the adamancy, the insistence built into a should is usually not true. You would live through the experience and get to the other side, and eventually other better experiences would come to you. Most of us are so much more resilient, so much more capable, so much more surrounded by good things to draw upon, so much more contributing and loving than we think we are. Also, Consider the situation or relationship through the eyes of the others involved. Ask yourself if the things you think are imperatives, mandates, rules, necessities, etc., are like that for others. Probably not. And flip it around. What shoulds are alive in the minds of others that you are violating? Yikes. When I think about this applied to situations I get cranky about, it's very humbling. A final thought. Dropping the shoulds exposes you to a sense of vulnerability to life and the difficult feelings that come with it, and that can be hard. We use shoulds to try to hold at bay the pain and loss we all do or will inevitably face in full measure, some of course more than others. Yet the pain and loss that do come will come regardless of our musts or can't, which only delude us into thinking that this tissue of rules will somehow hold back life's tides. Paradoxically, by opening to this tide as it runs through your life, a deeper true reality than can ever be contained by the nets of thought, you both reduce the uncomfortable friction imposed by shoulds upon those currents and increase your sense of opening out and being lifted and carried by life's beautiful stream. You've been listening to Just One Thing, Simple Practices for Resilient Happiness by Dr. Rick Hansen. This is your volunteer programmer, Babs Felix, from the Sun Sound Studios in Flagstaff, thanking you so much for listening today, and I hope that you have a wonderful rest of your day. And now, stay tuned for more interesting programming coming to you from Sun Sounds of Arizona.